I think they like you, Steve.
It's Tuesday, Lisa. Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go. 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show. Justin Kaufman here. Dave Bennett. Mary Sandberg. Mary Vanderbilt. Steve Grzanich. And Steve Cochran back today from New York. Can't wait to hear about all the stories of him just hanging out in the cool, hip Upper East Side bar.
Wait, he had Abigail with him.
Oh, he had Abigail, right.
Plus, I don't see him being that guy anyway.
No.
I just figured he'd be one of the, you know, he'd be him and Jay-Z, maybe Ethan Hawke.
Do you know Steve?
I'm learning. But I'm sure, right? I mean, it seems like he'd be the kind of guy that would be just New York hip elite, hanging out where
just Dylan not in Thomas a bar.
I can't figure out where he would go in New York besides a golf course. But, yeah.
It's a big, big place,
maybe,
right?
Some culture.
We'll find out.
I saw a picture of him at a diner.
Oh, there you go.
With Abigail. So I know that they ate while they were there.
Probably went to a kid's show of some sort, I would imagine.
A kid's show?
Yeah.
They were with Paul Coit, our contributor.
Right.
So I think they
I see Steve as a Brooklyn kind of guy. I think he's hanging out in Brooklyn or maybe
Central
some
Park.
Of the...
You know, 4 days is enough. It's a good city, but it's not Chicago.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Hi, kids. How are you?
Good, man. We were just figuring
out talking about you.
Where you would have gone in New York. What kind of New York you were?
Well, we saw a lot of tourist stuff because the Coit's kids, Paul Coit has these two amazing kids. Not that mine aren't amazing. They're just older. So we saw a bunch of touristy stuff, which is great. But, you know, we also went around and did New York stuff. We were rude to tourists. But no, it was good. We had a great time.
I'm walking here.
Did you ever get your new Balance shoes to walk around in?
I did. I got my new... Yes, I did. Just as I told Dave I would, just before I left, I violated the rule. I got new shoes before I got on the plane.
Oof.
As a matter of fact, you know that guy at Cicero that always sells you stuff when you're on the way to Midway?
Mm-hmm.
He should sell shoes. He should sell comfortable shoes on the way to the airport. He should have, like, you know what a Brannock device is? That's how you determine the size of a foot. He should have a Brannock device, one of those little slant boards, and he should sell shoes at the bottom of Cicero's
exit. That exit is already slow enough.
And you'd have to get out of your car.
I bet you could do it without getting out of the car.
You know, it's guys like you, Dave, that poo-poo the great ideas.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, Steve. That's no way to welcome you back.
I love that you're bringing up Midway because one of the items on the top six at six is talking about the Midway renovations. So you could tell us firsthand.
What a segue.
Because, you know, they did a lot. They put a lot of cool restaurants in, and Home Run Inn is coming back, and I think Harry Carey's is coming back. However, McDonald's and Potbelly's will not return to Midway.
Really? No Potbellies?
Oh, people are going to freak out.
I can't have an airport without a McDonald's.
Well,
is that against the law?
Yeah, that's I would venture if anyone knows of an airport that does not have a McDonald's.
But that was kind of a very specific thing to have that Potbelly's at Midway. It's been there for so long.
That's how I knew about Potbelly's.
Yeah,
because
right.
of the one at Midway.
And it's such a great tourist thing because people come through. Maybe they have stopovers, that kind of thing. They get to experience Potbelly's.
Now with the Lake Geneva yesterday, Maureen and I, our anniversary was yesterday. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
And so we went up to Lake Geneva for the day. There's a Potbelly's there in like a historical building that's like a Potbelly's in the round.
Yeah.
And it's kind of ingrained in the architecture and stuff. And it's going, looks like I'm going to have an upscale sandwich there. That's very nice.
Do they have live music at that one?
I didn't go in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, went to, this is why you go to Lake Geneva. You go to Lake Geneva to talk about how pretty the lake is and watch some people and then buy some stuff. And then have ice cream and then watch some more people and buy some more stuff and come home.
There you got it.
And you didn't golf? I'm surprised.
No, that starts today.
Oh.
Make it up for lost time.
Right.
4 days without golf, I have a twitch. I got some stories from New York to tell you. Also, Lollapalooza starts when?
Friday.
Oh, then it must be
Thursday.
Time for...
Does it start Thursday?
Must be time for Thursday. Real band, Lollapalooza band, or band I was in.
We have an awesome promo. of your band names.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I thought I'll repeat any for the game today. John DeCoste will host the coveted annual game show. Real Band, Lollapalooza Band, or Band I Was In. We'll play that later. Doc Most is on today. My cousin passed away on Saturday night, on Friday night, and he was 54 years old. He's been fighting cancer for the better part of a year, and he was very honest about mistakes he made and not getting checked out early and things of that nature. So next week I'm going back to New York for the funeral and the service and stuff. This is somebody I grew up with and have known my entire life. And again, 54 years old. It's ridiculous. But as a legacy to him, one of the things he would want is for you to know more about what you need to watch out for. So Dr. Most will be on today. We'll talk about
what. Sorry for your loss, man.
Thank you, but what he went through and, you know, things you need to look out for and listen for. Orion later and something called Soldiers to Sidelines we want you to know about. And the top six at six coming up in a second. 6:18. Steve, how have you been without me?
It's been rough, but we're glad you're back. I'm glad you're back.
I'm told Justin did a great job with the show. Is that accurate or inaccurate?
Fake news.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. Sure. Well, you're the newsman, Steve. I trust your judgment.
Yeah, he did fine. He did fine.
And we missed. Can I use that? Can I use that on my Twitter profile?
Sounds like the judgmental parent. Right. Oh, yeah, he did fine.
I don't want to be too, you don't want to throw it all in there. You don't want to be 100%.
Right. He did fine. Steve will be featured on a Grzanich in space story coming up in just a second as well. At 6:19. Oh, we missed out on Mars, didn't we? Stupid clouds. We'll get to that in a second.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
So, Paul Coyne, our British pal, his son Joe is a huge football fan, European football, soccer. And he'd never seen an American baseball game. Oh. And I took Paul Coit to the only baseball game he's ever been to 20 years ago in Minneapolis. Well, 30, no, 25. Wow, am I old. Holy crap. Was that 25 years ago?
I was going to say, I'd love to know who was playing on that Twins team.
Babe Ruth.
Ken Herbick?
Babe Ruth. You know, it was Ken Herbick.
That's right,
Kirby
your wheelhouse, Puckett. Justin.
Oh, I love it.
The
80s
baseball.
Oh, my
player.
God. Dan Gladden.
Who was pitching?
And I was friends with Al Newman.
Viola? Or wasn't it?
Frank Viola.
Frank Viola.
Yeah. Yeah, all those guys. Holy crap, I'm old. So anyway, I took Paul to his first game like 25 years ago. He hadn't been to a baseball game since. So Friday night in New York, the Royals, speaking of the Royals and the White Sox, Royals were in town to play the Yankees.
Right.
So there's a story involving Harlem I'll tell you about later. But in the midst of getting to the game, the weather's kind of dicey. It was the only bad weather day we had. We get to Yankee Stadium, and it's cool, and Joe's all excited. And we get inside, and it's raining, and still raining.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Raining some more, and my StubHub tickets are now in trouble, and we never actually went to the seats. They called the game after an hour.
Oh, yeah. Darn it. And you can't go.
I said, Joe, how great was this? You got to Yankee Stadium. He's a great kid. He laughed it off.
Well, you got to see the new stadium, which is really nice.
It's very nice. Yeah. Well, I went down on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
were
and
you allowed to
slid on the tarp?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, but in New York they love that. They love when people break the rules in New York and just do whatever you want.
I think Dave called a football game there.
I did. Yes,
but it is a very nice park. So I highly recommend you go to Yankee Stadium if you can. And the new City Field I hear is nice as well, where the Mets play.
It is.
So you should go there, but you should go there when it's not raining.
They hold the game at least so you could buy hot dogs and beer?
Oh, we had all sorts of crap.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we had a lot of crappy food. Yeah, so that was good. And this is a true story. We didn't run into one rude New Yorker the entire weekend. Really blew the cliche up.
Gotta go back.
Everybody was nice. And I'll get to the top six because I know that's the reason we're here. But one quick story, too. This is my favorite part of the weekend, I think. And John DeCoste here. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So Paul and his family are British, so therefore they have what? British accents. Three separate times. May have been three separate times at least over the weekend. They had New Yorkers stop them. While they were waiting in line for whatever with the 9/11 Museum in different places, while they're waiting in line, they had New Yorkers either turn around or stop them and say, I just want you to know, I did not vote for that idiot. I didn't vote for him, and I want you to know that. It's not everybody's fault. I didn't vote for him.
Apologetic on our soil. That's not good,
Completely unsolicited.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right, top six. Item number one goes something What the hell did I do with the top six? Oh, here it is. Something like this. Steve's in outer space. Let's go live to Steve Grzanich. Mars didn't get its moment today, did it?
Well, it was cloudy. That's why. Lots of people had it covered by clouds. But it's still there behind the clouds. And here in space, I can see it just as bright as day. So,
yeah. What are you eating? There. What are you eating on Mars?
I have a peanut butter squeezy thing and some Tang. and balls of water are floating around in front of me.
This is the closest Mars has been to Earth in how long?
I'm about a million years or something like that.
It's not a million years. There's a historical date in there somewhere, but Mars hasn't been this close in a long time.
15 years.
15.
Yeah. But the funny part of this story is the amount of fake news about this that was online. I don't know if you saw these stories about how the moon was going to be, Mars was going to be as big as the moon, and people were actually posting this on Facebook is even like earlier this week about the moon. And Mars being the same size in the sky.
I should warn everyone that if you get excited about a post that you see that's not from any news organization at all, before you send it out again, before you repost it, before you forward it, maybe Google it. Maybe Google it for a second and see if it's real.
I love that there's fake news about Mars.
And you don't even need to, though. That now on Facebook, it actually says below it, this story is fake, and then it gives you like the three stories that are true about... That's kind of cool.
People don't read that deep.
No, they don't.
The next item up is this. Falling scoreboard pin hit a bunch of bucket-wearing Cubs fans. Let me go live to Dave. He's not at Mars. He's at Wrigley covering the story. Dave, what am I talking about here with the pin falling? What is that?
I'm not exactly sure what the
What kind of coverage is this, Dave? Come on. You're supposed to be on this.
Well, I can tell you that the guy was wearing a bucket on his head because it was a rally cap, and that's what saved him, he believes, from further injury.
There's a picture that shows them wearing that helmet and the buckets on their head like they were just having fun and joking around, and it saved their lives.
You know, like the bucket that you wear sometimes, Steve, just to kind of...
No, that's a normal hat, Dave. I told you I have a large head. Yeah, it just looks like a bucket.
One fan
was injured when a falling metal pin from the Wrigley Field center field scoreboard... Time we change it.
Yeah.
It's not 1914 anymore. Hit him in the head last week. If he hadn't been wearing his plastic bucket on his head,
weird,
he would have been possibly injured or killed. Should we wear plastic buckets on our head all the time?
Well, you might want to just take one with you to the ballpark. Hmm. But it did require 5 staples to close the wound.
Oh.
So, and I've had staples in my head, and it's not really pleasant. I had 8 staples.
So he got stitches.
You got him at staples, too, didn't you?
You got him at staples. I had staples put in my head at staples.
So you think he sues the bucket maker for not totally protecting his head?
That's true. If he wouldn't have had that bucket on, it would have gone clean in. It would just, they would have to pull a hammer and get the hammer and pry it.
I smell mass protest. Everybody wear a bucket if you sit underneath the scoreboard.
Is anybody curious why pins are falling out of the Wrigley Field scoreboard?
Yeah, that's the real question.
Do we have an earthquake that I missed or something that started to rattle? Next, new food court is Simbrick said, is opening at Midway. The massive renovation that began a year ago is rolling along. By the way, again, New York, if you're going to New York, they're finally fixing LaGuardia, one of the worst airports on the planet. They're spending $3 or $4 billion to fix LaGuardia. It's a mess.
You flew into LaGuardia, really?
Into Kennedy out of LaGuardia. I told you, Steve. Look at my itinerary. New restaurants include...
The quack.
That was a premature duck. New restaurants include, is it Arami?
Arami?
A-R-A-M-I. It's a branch of the Westtown Sushi Restaurant owned by Michelin-starred chef Tai Fujimura. Also, Wood Grain Neapolitan Pizzeria. And that's got the 3 or 4 locations in the burbs. And the Billy Goat all going in. But again, no McDonald's.
No McDonald's. And Texter said the Myrtle Beach Airport doesn't have a McDonald's.
So it's Myrtle Beach and Midway?
Yes.
Those are just
the
airports
two,
to start with.
The two airports.
In. Yeah. The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, has been behind maybe Republican State Senator Sam McCann's third-party bid for governor. And now the union has formalized it. They're backing Pritzker on the Democrat side, as they did in the primary, and McCann under the Conservative Party banner. Why is this a news story? Well, because it's another opportunity for Rauner to get a backing that he missed. So it's not great for Rauner.
I don't think he was ever going to get that one. I would assume after the Supreme Court and everything, he was probably not going to get that.
And by the way, Sam McCann has no chance of winning.
Yeah.
Zero. We should get him on the air to ask why he's running. So throw it out there if you would. Next, Trump administration considering bypassing Congress to grant a $100 billion tax cut by adjusting for inflation and determining capital gains. A capital gains tax cut is exactly what nobody needs right now, because the people that need the capital gains tax cut already have enough money. We don't need the economy juiced. We don't need this now. This is just more kissing up to people with a whole bunch of dough. And I'm speaking from a perspective of somebody that has done okay in life. You give the tax cuts to people that need it.
There's also an argument about whether this would juice the economy at all. I mean, it probably would not. This is money that would not go right back to the economy. You and I spend the money, not rich people, on stuff.
And here's the deal. The Hill and other publications over the weekend reported that CEO pay went up massively after the January-February Trump-Paul Ryan tax cuts. And the percentage of people who have actually seen positive gains from it is very small. Now, some of you listening may have noticed more money in your paycheck, but I took an informal survey of people here, said, how much more money are you making? And people go, nothing, a couple of bucks.
And more importantly, and then, Mike, I love my accountant because she already ran the numbers for what tax will be next year.
Next year, yeah.
And I, because of where I live and the restrictions on the tax stuff, I will be paying into the government. So any money that I made out of my check, which was negligible, $15, $20, is now just automatically going back to the government.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
For those of us who still get paid minimum wage, the gas prices went up. That ate a lot of it. Grocery prices are up. Inflation is up. So anything is probably gone by now.
It appears to be inarguable, and I say appears because I'm not an accountant, but every story I've seen from every legitimate publication says that CEO pay, stock buybacks, exactly what economists warn, is exactly what happened with the tax cut. Again, this is not hard math, kids. Rich people don't need the money. Folks who need the money are folks who need the money, so stop it already. And this, Paul Manafort's trial will finally begin. Jury selection scheduled to get underway this morning in the financial fraud trial of President Trump's former campaign manager, who made somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 million from Ukraine, the Russian side of Ukraine, amongst other places. And this happened 10 years ago. People go, why is it relevant? It's relevant because he managed the president's campaign as a felon in waiting, and you have to then search his background to see if there was any influence.
And he was in the room for that meeting at the Trump Tower, that famed
exactly.
meeting at the Trump Tower.
So. And a change in the Republican platform of the convention, which nobody understood at the time, which was pro-Russia, Ukraine, and that agenda. And you're going, why are we making that change? So the dirty continues to be uncovered. 6:34. We need a break before we do the headlines. That's next. Headlines in a moment. 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
I want to thank everybody, by the way, in Lake Geneva that I ran into yesterday. We had a really nice time. Maureen and I, on our anniversary, went up to Lake Geneva and hung around, did some shoplifting. But it's nice. I highly recommend it. I was surprised how busy it was. But then again, it's still
living.
Yeah, right? I mean, why wouldn't it be busy? What's the matter with me? Yeah.
I know Lake Geneva pretty well. My parents live there. They live out right on the outskirts of it.
Still live there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We are in Lake Geneva all the time.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's a great town.
So, I was trying to figure out what it needs. Like, is there a business you could open there? No.
Like glitter ice cream would be good. or tchotchkes.
Oh, yeah, glitter ice cream.
Unwanted tchotchkes would be the name of my store.
Crap you should have thrown out a long time ago.
All right,
so here's the deal. Kids of the week are always welcome here. And, you know, you don't need to have changed the world. The premise of this, when I started a long time ago, was very simple. It's just there's too much bad news in the world, and particularly too much bad news about kids, because the majority of kids are doing the right thing and doing a good thing. So, you know, it could be a kid that took a C to an A. Could be a kid that wasn't doing any chores and now is. Could be a kid that helped a neighbor. Simple stuff. We get a lot of world-changing kids on the show, and that's great, too, obviously. But don't be put off or scared off from telling us about any kid who impressed you. Sandberg, what do they do?
They go to WGNradio.com/contests, and you can just fill out. It's a quick form. There's like 5 questions at Kid of the Week, and then we might pick your kid.
We have a very cool follow-up for Kid of the Week today. So we get a kid of the week, and then we find out that the kid of the week's got something cool going on. We say, well, come on the show. Come on the show and talk about it, Chloe Morrissey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice to talk to you again. Have you missed us?
Of course. You couldn't get enough of me.
That's exactly right. That's why we wanted you back. Chloe, you're 16 now?
Yep.
All right. And you got involved in the first tee program how as a golfer?
That was like the first program that I started out in, and that's like the first big thing that my parents put me in when I was a kid.
Did you like golf right away?
Yeah, I did. I always liked it.
You must have pretty good hand eye. You're pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that and the fact that we missed you. In order to be selected to get what you got, you not only have to be good on the course with the clubs, you got to be a good representative of the first tee that you've been doing since you were 8 years old. Why do you recommend it for people?
It can teach you so much besides golf. It can teach you so many life lessons, and it'll help you on and off the course. It taught me so many valuable things in my life, like confidence and how to persevere and how to use good judgment and just so many things that can help you.
Yeah, how to talk to grown-ups, right? How to talk to strangers, how to deal with other people.
Of course, yeah.
And show respect. Chloe has inspired hundreds of junior golfers already, volunteered and mentored younger kids in the program, and your dedication not just to the game, but to the other people who get involved is worthy of a pretty cool thing. So, Sandberg, what is she going to do?
Chloe is going to go play one of your favorite courses.
Tell
Chloe. Tell Steve where you're going to go play.
I'm playing at Pebble Beach this September.
What? Wow. What?
As a 16-year-old.
Pebble Beach. I don't know if you heard, they put an ocean in next to Pebble Beach. That is fantastic. You've seen the stuff online? You've seen the pictures?
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited for it. Like, I've been waiting for this for years.
At 16, she's been waiting since she was 11, is what I was told.
So. Listen, I totally get it. Yeah. I've played it many times, and it's incredible. You're going to love it.
I know. I'm so excited. Like, ever since that I found out that this was an opportunity in the future, I just worked for it like so hard over the years just to get here.
Well, I think you've earned it. Sounds like you have. I hope you have a great time. What am I saying? Of course you're going to have a great time. Who do you go out there with?
I'm going out there with my parents.
Wow, it's going to be a blast. Does your mom or dad play golf?
My dad does, yeah.
Great is that? That's tremendous.
I know.
Now, one quick tip. Seventh hole there is about 110 yards straight downhill facing the ocean. And it's 110 yards, so no big deal. When the wind is blowing off the ocean, it can play, and I'm not exaggerating, it can play 230 yards. It can feel like a 230-yard hole. It's going to be fun. Could be a driver. Could be a little wedge.
Huh. I have to remember that.
Seventh hole. Just keep it in mind.
And you need to come back on, Chloe, after your experience in September. You have to come back and tell us how the seventh hole went. Mm-hmm. If Uncle Steve's, if his advice helped you out.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a $100 donation to First Tee if you make par on that hole.
There you go.
Right,
pressure's on.
So all right, that's awesome.
You got to make a three there, okay?
A lot of pressure.
Yeah. All right.
By the way, Chloe,
I will.
If you make bogey, I'll send it in anyway. Thank you for being a great representative of not just the first tee, but a great kid of the week. I hope you have fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right, hold on for a second.
That's great.
What cool is that? Yeah. You know how old I was when I played Pebble for the first time? I was 30.
Yeah. Where is that? Monterey? Is that the one in
Monterey Peninsula?
I've seen it.
Were you kid of the week then?
I was. I was actually adult of the week. But it's fantastic. If you love golf, it's on your bucket list, and it's crazy expensive, and you're not going to regret paying it.
You can kind of understand. I was on the beach next to it, and to get there in Carmel and to Carmel by the Sea and the whole bit, to see it, you're like, yeah, that's going to be expensive. You look at it, you're like, that's going to be expensive, but it's beautiful.
She's going to have a blast. So we'll follow up with Chloe again. And again, Kid of the Weeks, good kids doing good stuff on any level. How do they get in?
WGNradio.com/contests and click on the Kid of the link.
All right, let's do this. Dave, did I ever tell my Craig Stadler story about Pebble Beach?
No.
Craig Stadler, what was his nickname on tour?
The Walrus.
Right. So it's the 18th hole.
I already love it.
It's the 18th hole. The sun is setting over the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And Craig Stadler could drop a couple of pounds. He's a little heavy, like me. And we'll get to the 18th, and I'm 4 feet for birdie. 4 feet. Quiet falls over. Even the ocean waves had settled down. And as you could hear a pin drop, a drunken tourist from the deck of his hotel room yells, "Make it, walrus!"
Huh? Nice.
Thought you were correct. Nice. That's really? A compliment. He has a really nice game.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, that's awesome.
Missed it left. Tapped in for the par.
Plus, you had your teeth fixed since then.
I did. Yeah.
But don't they have walrus? They do have, like, along the coast there, mm-hmm. along Carmel and
all actual walruses.
They have walruses.
Yes, they do.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he was talking to the walrus.
That's what I'm thinking.
He could have been talking to a walrus.
I think all these years you
all
carried
these
that
years
with
I might hurt my feelings. Oh, boy.
I was more concerned about missing the birdie putt. Yeah. Walry.
What do you call a lot of walrus? Is it walry?
Walrusi?
Walleye. It's walleye.
Oh, it's walleye? Yeah. I had no idea.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
All right, it's a very simple premise. 312-981-7200. All you have to do is guess when the band name that John announces, whether it's a real band, a Lollapalooza band, or a band I was in. Lollapalooza again starts when?
Mary said Thursday. I thought it was Friday, but Mary would know better now.
No, it's Thursday. Yeah.
Mary always goes. She gets on some stranger's shoulders, takes her top off, starts pumping her fists.
Always.
I mean, it's just another day at Lollapalooza for you.
She's always got her basketball, her 80s basketball jersey on.
Exactly.
In my tube socks.
Your ironic.
Let's go to Brian on line two. Brian, are you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right, John, what band name do you have?
Good morning, Brian. Here we go. I'm going to throw out this one. Drunken Ugly Basement Brothers.
The Drunken Ugly Basement Brothers. Is that a Lollapalooza band, a real band, or a band I was in?
I'm going to have to say it sounds like a Steve Cochran band to me.
Now, you can't ask for help. I will say that as well. I didn't mention that. Would you like to ask for help, or you want to go with that as your final answer?
Well, it depends on who's going to help me.
Well, you can pick anybody. You can have the whole show
Well, John asked a question, right?
Yeah, John can't help you because John has
I was hoping for a ringer. But
that was a good call.
Yeah, it's a good call.
And I suppose I can't answer Steve. How about Sandberg? She's pretty smart.
I'm going to say it's a band Steve was in as well.
All right. Was that a band
I was in? I'll go with that. Final answer. Sounds good.
Good call, but no.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong. That is a
Lollapalooza
band.
It's not a good call, then.
I know. I'm sorry.
That was good.
That's a Lollapalooza band, huh?
That's a Lollapalooza band?
That is a Lollapalooza band.
Oh, that's incredible. Because I auditioned for them. Brian, hold on. We have consolation prizes. Brian, sorry, I clipped him there. Let's go to Rick. All right, Rick, are you ready to play?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, John.
Here we go. Peanut butter squeezy thing.
Peanut butter squeezy thing. Is that a real band, a Lollapalooza band, or a band I was in?
That is a band you were in.
That's exactly
that
right.
True. That's true.
It's also something Steve Grzanich said a half an hour ago on the show.
Oh, you were in that band with Steve Grzanich.
Congratulations. Yeah, Steve played tambourine. You played tambourine. Oh, he was only in it to meet people. Let me go to Susan here. Susan, are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, good.
Here we go, Susan. How about this one? Not ready for naptime players.
Pay attention to that one, Susan.
The not ready for naptime players. Real band, Lollapalooza band, or a band I was in?
Can I help you, Susan?
Yeah, this one. We know this one.
If you are a current listener to the Steve Cochran Show, this will help. if you may have listened to, I don't know, a program yesterday.
Yeah, maybe a song called Henrietta's Hair, or My Brother Did It. He did it, he did it, did it, did it.
Oh, can I help her? Sounds like a Lollapalooza band.
Sounds
like a Lollapalooza band to me. It's a Lollapalooza band, I think.
Okay, I'll go with Steve.
That is correct.
That is correct. That's tremendous. You're a big winner.
And a band that played live on the show yesterday.
How about that?
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating the lyrics. It was My Brother Did It, He Did It, He Did It, Did It, Did It.
That was a great song.
Yeah. Winners.
Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for That.
They're all winners on the show. Winners get apt gift cards, gift certificates to Golf Center or Des Plaines, general admissions packs to Sycamore Speedway. SycamoreSpeedway.com, Golf Center, Des Plaines.com, app.com. We play more later, and the news is next. I'm taking a few days off.
Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
Enjoy a couple days. See you later.
Get him out of here. Get out. Get him out of here.
Enjoy your 4 days off from me.
Out. Out. Out.
See you in a week. Back from a nice weekend, nice long weekend with our friend Paul Coit. Well, I'm going to have come back on. He's in New York till Thursday. I'm going to have him come on next week and talk a little bit about his New York experience. You know, everybody should go to New York for a few days just to remind you how lucky you are to live in Chicago.
Exactly.
And we had a great time. But the cliche, Chicago, everything in Chicago, or everything in New York you can get in Chicago, it's just easier. It's just absolutely factual.
It's so true.
It's an island with too many people. You know, it's not their fault. There's just too many people.
Absolutely.
And, are there any circumstances under which you would have a car in Manhattan?
I don't see why you would. Or it's absolutely
or even drive, even rent one.
No, it's insane. And to this day, I don't know why they don't have the tax that Londoners have, where you have to pay every time your car goes into the city, because it has cut down on traffic.
They essentially do. They just do it by every bridge essentially has a toll. Yeah. So
the bridge tolls.
It's like $19.
Bridge tolls and the tunnel tolls, $100,000 a month.
I know, right?
Having said that, good times had by all on this the particular trip. I'll tell you a quick story. So I said Friday night we're taking the Brits to a Yankees game. It's Ross Cochran, me, Paul Coit, who you hear on the show all the time, and his son Joe. And he's all excited. We're going to a Yankee
game. Does he go by Super Joe?
He should, but that name I heard was taken.
You can have it regional.
Yeah. A regional Super Joe?
Franchise?
All Joes are super.
All Joes are super, yeah.
So he's about to turn 11. He and his sister, great, great kids. Love those kids. So we get in the car, and we're headed for Yankee Stadium. Well, we were staying at a hotel in Midtown. So to get to Yankee Stadium, you go through part of Harlem. Now, Harlem ain't what it used to be. Harlem is being gentrified like the near south side and the west side of Chicago have been in many spots. However, like any big city, there's dicey spots as well. So it's a big adventure for the Brits because their image of Harlem is, oh, this will be fun. We'll see people who could harm us.
Yeah.
But as we're going through Harlem, I can't help but notice that Joe, the kid in the back, has gotten quiet. So I turn around and I go, Joe, Joe and Ross are sitting in the back. And Joe, you okay? He goes, I don't feel good. Getting car sick.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So just about the time when Paul, and Paul's a great dad, and Paul's, you know, trying to make him feel better and make him laugh and stuff, and I'm trying to get him not to think about it. But he's a kid. He's car sick and he's a kid. So just about the time you hear this noise, Paul takes his backpack. Turns around and gets it under Joe's face.
Oh wow.
Man.
Yeah. Now, wait, it gets better. This is right as we're pulling up to the Apollo Theater.
Yeah, the great 131st Street.
So Paul really wants to see the Apollo Theater, but he also wants his kid to be okay. So you pull up the Apollo Theater. He takes the backpack, zips it up, you know, because you want to zip it up after this happens, and sees the Apollo Theater, takes a quick picture, gets back in. We drive two blocks away. We pull over. Joe still doesn't feel great. He gets out of the car. It's four guys who are clearly tourists and a kid, and he throws up on the sidewalk in Harlem.
Classic.
So, which I believe is the title of my new album.
Wow. Is he okay? I mean,
he's okay.
You need to brush it off.
And I shouldn't say sidewalk. There was a trash can.
Worried about the backpack.
Yeah. Well, here's the other part of the story. Joe's mom, Paul's wife, was not on the trip with us. Turns out the backpack was fine because what Joe threw up on was mom's coat that was in the backpack.
Oh, that's probably better.
So her coat did not make the rest of the trip.
You know, it's okay. It was nice out.
And by the way, like any kid, as soon as he threw up, he felt great.
Yeah, right.
Hey, let's go to the game and eat stuff.
I love it.
Yeah, right.
Let's go to Yankee Stadium and eat stuff.
Because as adults, we always try to stop ourselves from throwing up, but really it's your body's way of telling you to get the stuff
out. Get that stuff out.
So you should just
get it out.
Just listen to
that
body.
So we go to the game. As I said earlier, the game gets rained out. That's Friday night. So Saturday night, if you're going to go to the Empire State Building, and there's a bunch of New York tourist attractions like this, but particularly the Empire State Building because so many movies have been shot there and all the recognizable stuff you'll see, go at night. Because you go at night, it's really cool. You see the city from the 86 to the 110th. Yeah, it's cool. So we go, and we're in line, and the line's moving along. It's clipping along pretty good. And I literally said, I go, man, they got this thing down because this is great. And all of a sudden, like as soon as that came out of my mouth, the line stops.
Yeah.
And it's hot. you know, it's 90 in New York all weekend, but it's hot because you got a lot of people in a fairly small space in line. We wait like 10 minutes, and then it's 15 minutes. Now it's 20 minutes. And the reason the line isn't moving is because there's too many people on the observation deck that aren't leaving. So now you're in a situation where you had a reservation for dinner, and you're waiting for the table, but the couple that paid the check, they still haven't left the table.
Yeah.
And you need a maitre d' to go, hey, we need you to move along. Right.
They don't do that? They don't move people along up there?
No. So we get a hold of one of the guys that's an Empire State Building guy. And he says, yeah, you're looking at probably another hour and a half.
Oh, come on.
Just to get upstairs.
Well, they have different levels where you wait in line. So you get through the first one and you think you're fine.
Right.
But then you get to the next one.
Right.
And you're waiting for that last elevator to get up.
Couldn't you pull the Kong and climbed up from the outside?
Thought about it. So we bailed. So we get downstairs and Ross looks at Joe and he goes, Joe, what was more fun, missing the Yankee game or missing the Empire State Building?
At least he got to go in the building.
He's a great kid. You know, the kids never complained about any of it.
That's crazy.
That's your wheelhouse, that age, the 10 to 11. Justin and I both having 11-year-olds. They love the Steve Cochran. You guys are on the same level humor-wise.
Intelligence.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of us. So you know what we did? We went to a Pinkberry and had ice cream at 11 o'clock.
When we went to
Glitter?
New York just recently, in the summertime, my wife and I wanted to go see, the trip before that, we wanted to go see an art exhibit, and there was a two-hour wait to see the art exhibit.
Yeah. You know why?
They love lines. People. They just love lines.
Too many people.
Who would do that? Like, I would never stand in a line for more than 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, a great time to go to New York is like February.
Yeah.
You know, when it's cold.
Yeah, right.
There's like you and eight other people.
Yeah, but then they go, oh, it's so romantic. It's February. That was my New York accent.
Not great.
Not great. But he has a New Yorker with a lisp.
Yeah.
So I'm going for a double.
It sounds like a New Yorker that may have had a stroke.
Yeah. I'm going for something different. See, it's like I'm the double. Double. It's nuance.
And a quick Central Park trip, if you will. They got a great playground right in the middle of Central Park. So if you got little kids, take them to the playground and let them rock and roll. And not a personal injury attorney within miles. There's giant rocks you can climb on. You get up on these huge rocks. Somebody's fallen off the rocks. You would think there'd be PI attorneys all over the place. Nobody.
I'm blown away by that. I agree with you. Last time I was there with Miles, we went up on the rocks there, and I was like, there's no real easy way to do this.
And no way to get down.
Rock climbing, and no one cares.
Yeah, you get up on the rocks, no way to get down. I know that because I saw people do it. It's not like I was up there.
I want a picture of you on top of the rocks. Did this happen?
Maureen was up there with a bunch of folks. Abigail made it up with Ross.
Nice.
Yeah.
How is this not on the WGNRadio.com gallery that Sandberg puts together? I want to see some only Steve.
Steve is not good about providing photos.
You can protect the fam, but I just need to see you.
Not
going on the rock.
Steve on the rocks.
You can see me not going on the rock, not getting to the top of the Empire State Building, and not seeing the Yankees play the Rock.
Just close-ups of your face.
Did you go to a show?
I did not go to a show. No. Thought about it, but not enough time. You know, I mean, New York, it's like Chicago. You can't do Chicago in a day or two or three.
Or four.
Just quickly, the 773 said, Justin, go to NYC to see the Yayoi Kusama exhibit. And I'm like, that was the exhibit.
That's
exhibit.
That's a yogurt, right?
It's famous, so weird. New York artist.
10-year-old Joe insisted we go to the Yayoi Kusama exhibit when we missed out on the other two things he wanted to do.
He would have loved it.
That's what Mickey orders from Starbucks.
Yeah, the Yayoi Kusama. Yeah.
With soy sauce.
But fun time had by all. As Dave said, don't bring a car in New York. Forget about it. You know, parking in New York is $12,000 a day.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you can't drive anywhere. I mean,
no, driving is ridiculous. I've said this for years. And I lived in New York briefly, but I said this for years. There is two guys in a truck van that goes from one street to the next. It's not moving anybody in. It's just blocking a street.
They just stop.
If you try to cross Manhattan, just go cross town on any of the side streets, you're never going to get there. People have died in their cars just trying to go four blocks because they couldn't get food. They couldn't get water. Just trying to cross town. Be glad you live in Chicago.
Do they have the Divvy bikes there?
They do. But they do have them. Yeah.
The other thing, too. I agree with you completely with the cars, but people who ride their bikes in Manhattan, I have not figured that out.
Yeah.
That's when I look at that, I'm like, this is putting your life in your own hands.
And the subway's great.
And the bike mess, yeah, it is great. Well, Great's an operative term. You know, I mean, you got to go at the right time.
Subway's best option.
I mean, my wife and daughter did run into a dead guy on the subway, but that's a different story.
It's not great.
Wow. No.
And here's another pro tip for New York. Before you sit down, look.
Yeah.
Make sure you're not sitting down in something other than a seat.
Did you see any rats carrying around pizza?
Yeah, right. No, I didn't see the New York pizza rat. Oh, we went to 30 Rock as well. 30 Rock's still fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of fun. You can eat great. Look, it's 4 days. 4 days. That's the max. 4 days in New York, you're going to just want to go home.
Perfect.
One point, Abigail is 2.5, goes, I just want to go home and take a nap. She's 2.5. She's smarter than the rest of us. By the way, a video of Joe throwing up in Harlem. We'll see if we can get that posted as soon as possible.
And now, back to the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
I know you're going to dig this.
I want to say hi to all my GM friends. We'll find people out at Woody Buick in Naperville listening this morning. Woody and I are old friends. We do great work there. And, of course, speaking of GMs, that reminds me, we got a Chevy to give away, don't we? We have a Chevy to give away, a Silverado?
We do.
How do I win that Silverado?
You can go to WGNradio.com/contests and enter to win.
It takes like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And you can't win if you don't enter. So
Centennial
I would say
Blue.
Enter.
Yeah, I think we're giving away.
Color. I was hoping I could win without entering.
No, you can't.
No?
No, no. No, you have to actually enter. So hi to all you great Chevy dealers. Your local car dealers are the people that support the stuff going on in your neighborhood, the Little League uniforms and the local parades and fairs and festivals and stuff. They're always contributing. So, Ray Chevy and Raymond Chevrolet and those guys, fabulous. Yeah, they're all good. The most valuable person on the planet for today is, should I open the envelope?
Yes.
And go to the envelope here. Open this. It's a manila envelope. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's all taped.
Okay, we're the winner because this person's on the planet, the most valuable person on the planet, young girl from Michigan, who did a little more than just have a lemonade stand, and reached out and helped folks that she isn't even remotely old enough to completely know or understand. She is the great Samantha Stricker. Good morning, Sammy.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Sammy is 12 years old, is that right?
Yes.
And where do you live?
I live in Saginaw, Michigan. It's about 2 hours from Detroit.
Sure.
I love Saginaw.
Beautiful. you had a lemonade stand, and you made how much money?
$2,111.53.
How much were you selling the lemonade for, like $100 a cup?
A dollar a cup.
That's a lot of lemonade.
Yes.
And what'd you do with the money?
We gave it all to the VA hospital.
How about that?
Wow.
How about that?
Impressive.
How about that?
Sammy, why did you do that? What made you think about giving that money to the VA hospital?
I wanted to give it to the VA hospital because the veterans do so much for our country that this is the least I could do to say thank you.
It's pretty great for anybody, let alone a 12-year-old to get that, right? Who made all the lemonade?
I made the first batch. But then, while I was selling the lemonade, my mom ran back and forth and made the lemonade.
It says here they did 54 gallons.
Yeah, 54 gallons of lemonade. That's not cheap.
No, and you have to do small batches so that the taste comes out right, I think.
Yeah. Did you sample your own product? Did you enjoy your own lemonade?
Yes, I did sample it.
And what goes great with lemonade? Cookies. Did you have cookies?
No, we didn't have cookies.
How can you have cookies when you're running that amount of lemonade
right,
through?
And, you're selling, and she said it was a dollar a cup, but some people sometimes give you like a 10 or a 20, right?
Yep. Yeah, hence the 53 cents.
Yep. Local fire department even came by?
Yes.
So the whole community heard about it, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Who paid the most for one cup of lemonade?
Someone paid $100.
How about that?
Wow.
How about that?
That's pretty impressive.
Pretty generous.
How's it feel, Sammy, to live in Saginaw and to not only have a lemonade stand that's successful, but to have the whole community embrace it, to see all the people coming through and knowing your lemonade stand and going out of their way to buy your product?
It makes me feel so good inside because just knowing that people care about the veterans and they want to help and support them.
Well, you're a good kid. You're a good person. And Ted Froetz, public affairs officer for the VA hospital in Dayton, Ohio, wrote on the Stricker GoFundMe page, "You're already making a huge difference in strangers' lives at such a young age. You're going to go far in life." And I second that. Thank you for what you do. You're the most valuable person on the planet.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, it's a lot. It's a lot at any age, Sammy. Hold the line, if you will. And by the way, thanks to Pete Zimmerman, who finds the MVPs every single day.
Yeah, great job. Sammy on. That's awesome. Awesome.
And of course,
job.
Pete obviously nominates himself every day, and he's not going to win.
I know.
Just needs to accept
that. It's always weird when we open the envelope, and it's like, most valuable person, Pete Zimmerman. No, I can't do this again.
No, stop it already.
Sammy was pretty amazing, but I really wanted that woman that's suing ginger ale for calling it ginger ale because she doesn't say there's enough ginger in it.
Right.
That's who I was hoping for.
I'd like a crack at that guest as well. At 7:33, your headlines are next at 7:20, WGN.
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
All right, 7:43 now. Sad to report that my cousin lost his battle with cancer. I actually hate using that phrase. Because I don't believe you lose a battle with cancer. I believe cancer has not been cured yet. So in this case, you succumb to the disease, and he fought his tail off. Big, strong guy. Found out he had stomach cancer late summer, early fall last year. It wasn't expected to last more than a couple of months. Fought it off for six, was really rallying, and then it took a nasty turn. And he died on Friday. So whenever anything on this show of a personal nature happens that we feel you can benefit from, I want to talk about the medical aspect of it. And I'll be gone for a couple of days next week at the services. But Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Thanks for taking the extra time, Doc.
You're welcome, Steve, and sorry for your loss. You know, that's tough when it hits this close to family, and especially someone, I believe he was 51, 55?
53.
Okay.
53. He would have been 54 this year. And a kid I grew up with, you know, his cousin Kurt and I were closer, but I mean, this is a kid we used to not let play because he was too little.
Yeah.
Then he grew up bigger than all of us and pounded on us, but just a great guy. Just a good guy. Ronnie Canis. But the reason I wanted you to come on, Doc, is because he admitted that he ignored symptoms. And he shouldn't have. And by the time they found out what they were dealing with, the fight was exponentially harder. So what do we need to be listening for, looking for, and feeling for, you know, when it comes to stuff like that? And by feeling, I just mean trust your senses. Trust, you know, if you feel like something's wrong, it probably is.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We always talk about, if you think about when we're talking about cancer, we're talking about prevention, we're talking about screening, we're talking about early identification, because if we catch some of these early enough, stomach cancer being one of them, colon cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, skin cancer, all of those, if we catch them early enough, we can treat them a lot easier. You really do well. But in order for that to happen, you as an individual have to understand what to look for and if you see something unusual. Stomach cancer is a little unusual. We're starting to see less cases of stomach cancer, which is good, and it's mainly because of processed meats and things that we have used to really rely on. We're now able to eat more fresh vegetables and things. But if you're an individual who gets full after eating just a little bit of food and go, that's kind of different, I haven't noticed that, I used to be able to eat a plate of food, you know, if you get this bloated feeling after you get heartburn and it's there all the time, those are probably the biggest ones. And weight loss. People that are losing weight that are trying to lose weight.
Unexplained.
Those are our red flags.
And this guy was in great shape. Great shape. And never sick. So those are two things that usually men use as excuses. Oh, I'm never sick. This will pass.
Yep.
But he also had plumbing changes. I don't like to get too graphic here, but it wasn't normal. You can't ignore those symptoms, right?
You can't. You really can't. And, you know, we talk about medications that went over the counter, and that's great for people to get over the counter medications. This is one case where I'm a little hesitant. You know, we talk about the ability to get what we call proton pump inhibitors, Nexium, Prevacid, all those medicines that say, I got this upset stomach, I want to take this medication. Fortunately, those medications help the symptoms, but they may be masking what's underlying there. So, you know, if you're going to do that and take it and you need to continue taking it, definitely get get in to be looked at.
And the thing you always hear from people is, either I don't want the bad news, or I don't want to know because denial's more comfortable. But if there is something wrong there, the faster you find out, the better, as you established at the top. And what are people afraid of? What, when you run into people that tell you that, just casually and things, what do you say to them?
Yeah, it's amazing how people say that, exactly what you said. And you know, you get, as a physician, you almost get frustrated because you're like, you don't understand what you have to go through now versus what right. you would have had to go through had we caught this 6 months, 3 months, you know, whatever before. Had you done your normal screening, you can't believe, colon cancer is a perfect example. We take a polyp out. You're not getting your colon resected. You're not getting chemotherapy. You're not, it's treatable. So that's probably the biggest thing, is do your prevention things, do your screenings, and I can tell you, although they may be uncomfortable, it's going to save your life in many cases.
And you're going to find out, if you find out there's nothing, that's a great day.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and if there is something, you can go after it. In other words, go see your doctor.
There's no downside there, right? You're either going to find out we found it early enough, we're going to be able to treat it. That's great. Or, hey, you know what? There's nothing. You don't have to worry about it. Your next screening is in X number of years, depending on the disease.
There's so much made, Dr. Most, about patients and their ability to go online now to WebMD and other places. And with the joke is, you know, that you have pain in your shoulder and you've diagnosed yourself with cancer. And the question is, with doctors and the relationships with patients, do you, from your vantage point, from a physician's vantage point, how much of that has changed the way that you have to deal with patients who come in who may think that they have bigger symptoms and don't, or vice versa, the other way around?
Yeah, whether it's the hypochondriac or, like you say, the person that's online and they feel something, for us, that's okay. We would rather do a complete exam, look at you, do the appropriate testing, and have that reassurance that, you know what, everything is okay. Now, the person who's coming in every other day saying, I think I have this cancer, you know, you have to, as a physician, get past the boy who cried wolf. And you have to take every individual experience as an experience and say, okay, let me make sure that whatever his concerns are, I'm either going to eliminate those concerns or I'm going to test and make sure that his concerns are unfounded. And that's the difficult part. And it's sometimes difficult with insurance companies as well.
So there are people driving to work now, or there are people just living their life this morning and something's not right. You know, something's not right physically. They haven't felt right in a little while, whether they're male or female. When do you go to the doctor? What's the tipping point for you?
Yeah, you know, if you don't feel right and it's gone on for more than, you know, a few days or a few weeks, then definitely get in. The perfect example is, you know, the stomach cancer one. You know, stomach cancer, like I said, it's decreased, but we also know that there's a bacteria called H. pylori that can cause ulcers as well as can cause stomach cancer. It's easily treated. We can do a blood test to see if you have that, and then we can put you on antibiotics and some other medications and treat that. But if you say, you know what, I'm going to take Prevacid or Nexium or any one of these, and I'm going to keep taking that for months and months and months, that's when we get concerned, because stomach cancer, 10% of them we catch early. 90% of them are advanced by the time we get to see that patient.
And you know what, Doc? For myself, sometimes, you know, it's hard to remember, like, God, did I have this stomach ache last week? I feel like persistent. So it's good if you jot down a note or put it in your phone. Then you can look back and say, wow, for the last 2 months, yep, I've had a headache or a stomach ache. And then you're like, this is more often than not. You know, because life is so busy, you can't always be, you don't remember exactly every single day how you're feeling. So if you take a note, that might be a good record to look back at. Like, I might.
It's a great idea.
It's not only a good idea, it's a great idea, and I will say this, and this is not in a sexist way at all. Do it when Pat tells you something, write it down. Because I can't tell you how many patients, I get in here and I ask, how long have you had this? And they say, oh, about a month. And the wife looks over and says, are you kidding? You had that at Joe's wedding.
Right.
Okay, well, it's been 2 years. And it's like, oh my gosh. You know.
Right. Yeah, there's never more appropriate nagging than nagging about somebody's health because you're paying attention to it, because it's the most important person in your life.
Yeah.
So
and nagging them to go have their test, nagging them and make the appointment for them and say, oh, by the way, you're going to the skin doctor today. What do you mean? I didn't. Yeah, I made your appointment. You're going. So real important to nag each other because, you know, you want each other around for a long time.
And one texter says cost of screenings and tests can be a major factor on why people won't go. I don't disagree with that, but I would also say the outcome is the same. And that is the good news is there's something minor or there's nothing. The bad news is it's a bigger deal and you're going to get the treatments and the faster you get them anyway. So what do you do about mitigating the cost question?
Well, and actually, a lot of people have that misperception that that is an issue. Most insurance companies now are paying for a lot of these screenings. So let's say you can't afford it. Well, you know what? There's programs for mammography for women that if you can't afford it, the Why Wait program, it's free. There's hospitals that provide that for free. Colonoscopies are often covered. Dermatology, that may be one where, okay, you have to pay out of pocket for that or it's going to be in your insurance. But a lot of the screening is now actually put into the health and wellness portions of your insurance plan. So check before you jump to the conclusion that it's not covered.
And somebody texted, Doc, I haven't felt right for a while. I'm on my way to a medical screening. Thank you.
That's what you want to hear. Great.
That's what you want to hear.
That is great.
So thank you, Doc. I know you got to go see patients. We appreciate you jumping on.
Yep, no problem. Talk to you guys soon.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
President Trump tweeting it up this morning, and here's a tweet I agree with. President Trump says this 3D gun thing. You know about this? This is where the blueprints to make your own 3D pistol, if you have a 3D printer, they're out and available as of tomorrow, I believe. And Trump, on his Twitter feed this morning, says, doesn't seem to make much sense. I've already spoken to the NRA about it. We're looking into it. That's great. That's what a president should do.
Although it's a little too late for him to take that position after his own Secretary of State could have stopped it weeks ago.
Right. Now it's a whole court thing. Right. Trump also tweets, collusion is not a crime, but that doesn't matter because there was no collusion except by crooked Hillary and the Democrats. Yeah. Remember when Walter Cronkite said, if I lose, or when Lyndon Johnson said, if I lose Cronkite, I lose the nation, I lose the war? There's a sweep going on now that it was kind of like sand on a beach. It's going out to the ocean. Trump's losing Republicans, and he's losing people on Fox. Fox News' Melissa Francis talking to Rudy Giuliani. Listen.
I don't think any of that really addresses the question of why you would say he wasn't at the meeting. Why are you saying that the president wasn't at the meeting? I understand those two meetings that you just set out there, but that doesn't explain why you're saying he wasn't there. Asked if he was there? No one asked if he was there.
Cohen is alleging that the meeting took place. We are making it clear that the president was not at that meeting. Cohen doesn't even allege that. To cut it off.
Okay.
Two alleged meetings. First meeting, a group of people, not the president. That group of people says the meeting didn't take place. Mm-hmm. Only person who has alleged it is Cohen. Second meeting, president's office. In walks Donald Trump Jr., says we're meeting with the Russians. Never took place. Didn't happen.
So neither of them happened. I mean, it's different to say that meeting didn't happen to say it didn't happen, but to say he wasn't there implies that it happened and he wasn't there.
No, as alleged by the liar.
Okay.
Alleged by Cohen.
Rudy Giuliani yesterday morning to Allison Camerota on CNN. I'm losing track of the days. Yeah, it was yesterday morning. Brought up a meeting nobody knew happened and then walked it back by saying the meeting that I brought up never happened.
He seems to do that quite frequently.
He's so bad.
Where he says something where you're like, what is that? He doesn't so seem bad. To catch the fact that there's a lot of information that has not been given to the public.
Shep Smith reacting to Giuliani saying collusion is not a crime.
Giuliani is essentially making a straw man argument, and it is deceptive. While the U.S. Criminal Code does not criminalize colluding per se, it is a crime to conspire with a foreign adversary to influence or undermine our election or any other government action. Special counsel prosecutors have gotten indictments against more than 20 Russians, three Russian companies, and several former Trump campaign members, including guilty pleas from a foreign policy advisor and a national security advisor. Both of those pled guilty.
Republican S.E. Cup on CNN's headline news channel. Listen.
Look, if you're confused about whom to trust in all of this, the answer is simple. No one. Michael Cohen is a bully and a liar. Rudy Giuliani is a bully and a liar. President Trump is a bully and a liar. I'm not surprised these guys are fighting, but whatever you think of the Mueller investigation, and you could believe that it's time to wrap it up, no one's alleging that Robert Mueller is a bully or a liar, except for these three bullies and liars.
If you lose the Republicans, if you think Fox is just rolling over now, I would say let's give Fox credit where it's due. They're standing up to the nonsensical nonsense that comes out of the mouths of the people surrounding the president. The guy who could end this if he would sit down with Robert Mueller tomorrow, but can't sit down with Robert Mueller because the concern is he can't help but lying and he'll put himself in a perjury trap. You deserve better as the president of the United States. You're not getting it. Just consider it. 8:02. We need a break before the news. And then Dean's out on the road doing the Anna Balaval thing today, but we'll talk to him about show business coming up, too, on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
it's not Anna Balaban. It's Dean wandering around the city. What are you doing today?
I am headed over to Anna Balaban this morning right now.
What, does she need backup? Did she call for backup?
She does, because the Around Town Today segment is at a bar that's called the Replay Bar in the Lincoln Park area, and they have a pop-up of the TV show The Office up in their bar. Yeah. I don't know what that means exactly.
Okay.
But
because it had the word TV in it, she wanted you to come by?
I think that's part of it. And also because she said, I don't really know that much about the TV show The Office. So I think I'm there, you know, for technical backup. Should Steve Carell show up?
You know, it's funny you say that because I talked to somebody else about a different show the other day. It always is surprising when you run across somebody who's not watching the thing that everybody else watches.
Right.
For instance, I'm probably in that camp with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Me too. I don't watch.
And Bachelorette Island.
You're missing out on Bachelorette Island.
Bachelor in Paradise. Come on.
Hey, look at those bimbos and himbos.
Survivor, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen it either, by the way. I've never watched the full episode. I watch like 5 minutes and go, I can't take this. My head's going to explode.
Well, I told you about the show The Proposal that I watched like 45 minutes of, and then I wanted to hurt myself. That's afterwards. Hey, we need to shorten this up even further. It doesn't need to be 8 weeks. Doesn't need to be an hour long. We need like a 60-second thing. Yeah. I meet you, and within 60 seconds, I have to propose.
Yeah.
It makes it's just as much sense.
It's just that meaningful. You may as well do it in 60 seconds. It's just that meaningful.
It'll be a time saver for the rest of us.
The only reality show anybody needs to be watching is Very Cavallari. Jay Cutler's a star.
You're still watching it.
Oh, yeah.
He's killing
all
it.
In.
Yeah.
But your girl doesn't seem to be running the show now. It seems that Cutler's ruining it.
They're a couple. They're
like he used to ruin the offense for the Bears. He's ruining it.
There was reference to their prenup this last episode on Sunday. He said, I own half your jewelry company, and she said, you better check that prenup.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's not good.
Sounds like they're getting along great. Will you be upset if they lead to, like, a cliffhanger, and it's whether or not the two of them are going to get divorced because they keep fighting over the show?
I will be.
No, that could never happen. No.
That's not how it works.
Just for ratings purposes, that could never happen.
Dean, right now they're trying to decide if they're going to move the one fish from the new the old house to the new house. That was...
I know. That's what I was wondering myself.
we're all on pins and needles.
I just... What's wrong with me? I can't get into any of these shows. I don't get it. I don't understand them.
Well, let me tell you something. As the co-star of Moron Entertainment, I have to salute you. Cranky old Dean has never been more entertaining. Uncle Dean just telling it like it is. No kissing up to show business. No. If you don't like something, you say it. If you don't watch something, you say it.
Yeah, what's the big deal? We all can have opinions, right? We all can like different things.
Mm. Yeah, I find that I'm right about most stuff. That's the problem. Again, it's,
I do too. I just don't say it out loud.
Right, right. It's less obnoxious if you keep it to yourself. More on entertainment. We'll continue. We'll talk about really an unfortunate announcement from Alan Alda. We'll talk about how old Madonna is. We'll talk about Alex Trebek, because he is old. And the delightful Gina Rodriguez. You know, if Betty White ever leaves you, will you shack up with Gina Rodriguez? You seem to be just as taken with her.
When she gets into her 80s or 90s, I have no use for them when they're... she just turned 34. I'm going to have to wait like 50 years. And I'll be like 150 years old by then.
Right, so. Right. And your girlfriend Betty White's 96 now?
Yeah, she'll outlive us all. Betty White will outlive us all.
I love that she's 96. I love 96 when people go, you're going to retire. Yeah. And she had the right answer. She goes, no. Now stop asking me questions.
More energy than all of us. And really, the main thing that I love about her so much, much more foul mouth than any of us in our worst day.
And I'm telling you, I've heard it. That sweet Betty White, when you hear her drop one of those bombs, that'll clear your sinuses.
Thank you for being a friend is all I can say.
And you got to explain the last Moonves thing to me when we come back as well. He's the guy in charge of all that is CBS TV. And he's in trouble. All right, so we'll come back and do that. Dean's on the way to see Annabelle Lavelle, who is trying to figure out what the office was. It is with this pop-up situation. So basically, I'm looking at a video right now. They basically took the entire set of The Office and they put it in the middle of a bar.
That's the new that's the rage.
They're going to do it with other TV shows?
They have. I remember the arcade in Logan Square did Stranger Things last fall, I believe, or last year. Hmm. So, yeah, it's a TV. It's a thing. Saved by the Bell, they brought the diner into Wicker Park not too long ago. It's a thing. It's going to be Sunset. The Sunset Strip will be all of this in a year.
Because you take a picture of yourself there, and then you share it on social media. That's the thing of it.
They're ruining the dive bar. Pretty soon it'll be Dive Bar, which will be a fake dive bar.
In
a real dive bar. But
and Dave, you're waiting for the pop-up of the Sid Caesar show, right? Our show of shows?
No, not really. Milton Berle.
Oh, Milton Berle. Uncle Milty?
Uncle yes. Milty.
In a nice skirt.
Back to the Steve Cochran
rain?
Show.
I mean, if there's rain, what if there's rain?
Yeah, I'm not big in the guarantees.
Love theme from The Office. Somebody said, where's the All in the Family bar? Did we mention the All in the Family bar?
They're looking for one. Okay. I'd like to see an ER pop-up bar.
Or if somebody is alcohol poisoned and they get treated right on site.
Bloody sheets on hospital beds. And then you go, can I get a Stella?
Dean Richards rejoins us for more on entertainment. Dean, a texter says. On
That's
the show,
what she said.
On the show Married at First Sight, couples see each other and get married, see each other for the first time at the altar and are immediately legally married. The cameras follow them for 8 weeks as they honeymoon and move in together. At the end of 8 weeks, they choose to stay married or get divorced. It was filmed in Chicago last year. One of the three couples from that season is still together, Anthony and Ashley D'Amico. Why? 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 What's the point?
Yeah, what is that?
I don't get it. Tell me about Les Moonves.
The latest on that story is that CBS... board of directors yesterday had a three-hour meeting to decide whether Les Moonves should remain in charge of CBS or whether he should step down or go on a hiatus until these allegations against him about sexual harassment have been resolved. What they did yesterday was appoint an independent counsel to decide his fate, to go over all of the facts and decide what should happen with Les Moonves. So, but for now, he is still in charge of CBS. The allegations have been made about him regarding unwanted advances, which he says he acknowledges, but he said that he never used his position to harm anyone's career, to halt them if they did not respond to his advances. So we'll see what's going to happen with all of that.
So he's half admitted it?
Well, he said that he did did make advances toward women decades ago, but if somebody
well, yeah, we all did.
He always realize and acknowledge that no means no, and that it never went beyond that. And he says he never abused his power as the head of
and
CBS.
But the people who are alleging in the case of, you know, are pointing to the sexual advances and then being removed from projects.
Right, and that's what he's claiming he didn't do.
Yeah,
Ronan, well,
I guess that's what's going to be determined in the investigation, whether that happened or not.
A lot of people, Dean, were wondering why this is coming up now. This is a Ronan Farrow story again?
Or a piece again,
I should say?
In the New Yorker, Ronan Farrow, who was the one who first wrote about Harvey Weinstein. Stephen Colbert, actually last night, was talking about this, saying, oh, so what happened over the weekend? Oh, these stories? Oh, Ronan Farrow? Oh, that's not good. That's not
right,
good.
Right.
You got to watch the opening monologue of Colbert. Yeah, but then, early in the show, he talked about sexual misconduct with powerful people, which I thought was really bold and very candid of Colbert.
Yeah, I was talking about the boss.
On Les Moonves's network,
right.
talking about his boss, and we've got some sound of that.
Powerful men taking sexual advantage of relatively powerless employees are wrong. We know it's wrong now, and we knew it was wrong then. And how do we know we knew it was wrong then? Because we know these men tried to keep the stories from coming out back then.
That's a great point.
It is a great point. And I've said this since the whole Me Too thing blew up. Look, we know the line. All this nonsense from men go, I don't know if I can hug her. I don't know if I can tell her she looks pretty. I don't know if I can compliment a woman. Shut up. You know the line. You know the line where you've gone too far, and certainly where you've used your authority over somebody else in the hopes of getting a little nookie. So stop it. It's bad for everybody.
But even beyond that, this is Hollywood, and Dean, you know this the casting couch concept and this idea that everybody knew what was happening. They just didn't have a voice to stop it or just determined to look the other way. So Stephen Colbert is right in the sense that we know it's wrong now, and we knew it was wrong then.
I give Colbert a lot of credit for, you know, because he's been critical of all of these sexual harassment cases that have come along. It would have been very easy for him to just ignore this. I give him so much credit for calling out his own boss on this. I think that's and I think that this is it's not just Hollywood. I mean, these are just the most public stories because we know these people. We know who they are. But you ask anybody and any business anywhere, and they will tell you that these same kind of things, powerful people abusing their power, no matter what the occupation, no matter what the workplace is, it happens everywhere. So, you know, this culture of it's okay to do it has got to stop.
We're talking about Gina Rodriguez before the break. She's engaged?
Yes, she is. Apparently she's engaged. She hasn't officially confirmed it yet. But she and a guy who did a guest shot on Jane the Virgin a couple of years ago, Joe LoCicero is his name, apparently did get engaged. Gina was seen in some photos celebrating her 34th birthday in Mexico with a very definite engagement ring on her finger. So,
well, you know me, I always look for the finger first.
I've sized up the ring, and it's very pretty.
Right?
It's really pretty.
It's a nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice one. So if it's true, it seems like it is. I don't want to let facts get in the way of me reporting this, but it looks like Gina Rodriguez, a true sweetheart, real sweetheart, is apparently engaged.
Alan Alda sick?
Disclosed in an interview this morning that he has been living with Parkinson's disease for the past 3 years. And I've seen him on interviews since then. There don't seem to be any physical effects of it. But he did make the public disclosure this morning. Do you realize that MASH, the TV show on which he starred, was 1972? Yeah. It ran for 11 years, and he starred on that show that whole time. But I was surprised when I looked back to see how long ago that show was first on the air.
And crazy.
I think remains, wasn't there finale? Still remains one of the biggest shows of all time.
First big promotion I ever did in radio was a MASH goodbye party. I was 21, I guess, at the time. So, Madonna's old?
Madonna is turning 60 years old.
Well, that's not old, Dean. Why are you saying she's old?
Well, I'm not saying she's old. I'm sure she can still wear metal brassieres with the best of them. But instead of celebrating her birthday the way some of us might, she coupled with Facebook, and she's doing a big charity thing for her Malawi foundation. And anyone can make a donation, you know, to say happy birthday to Madonna, but the money will go to, food and clothing and the needs that people have in the country where some of her kids came from.
Well, she looks great. Good for her. And drinks with tiny umbrellas and cornrows in my hair. The answer is Alex Trebek is retiring.
Apparently, he, in an interview, said that he doesn't think that he's going to renew his current contract, which has a couple of more years on it. He said that he thinks that... Can you hear Anna Balabala in the background?
You can hear Anna Balabala even when you're not there.
Even when I'm not on the phone. He said that he probably is not going to renew his contract. And the two people that he's suggesting replace him as host of Jeopardy, the L.A. Kings... play-by-play announcer. I don't have his name right here in front of me. And there's a CNN legal analyst that he's suggesting.
Not Ryan Seacrest.
You know, Johnny Carson didn't get to pick his replacement. Maybe Alex Trebek can't pick his, right? Come on.
I don't think so, but if you could put that in the form of a question, please.
Okay, I apologize.
Alex Faust.
Who's Alex Faust?
He's the L.A. Kings announcer, young guy.
He's the guy who replaced Bob Miller, who was there, the legendary voice of the Kings forever.
You know who would have been great as the host of Jeopardy? Milt Rosenberg. Milt Rosenberg. He would have been so annoyed with every wrong answer. Would have been
That would be intimidating for any contestant to come up against Milt.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
That's what she said.
That's Moron Entertainment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
While I was out, were there any more sightings of eggplants?
No.
How about other vegetables?
No vegetables.
Nothing showed up on the Zimmerman household doorstep?
No, but yesterday we talked about having celebrity crushes, that maybe once you met the celebrity, your crush changed. And Pete Zimmerman, who has the eggplants that are being brought to his house, he used to love Jennifer Aniston until he found out that she smoked.
You hate Jennifer Aniston.
I know, so I was happy to hear that he stopped liking her.
Do you know
her.
About this? Do you know about Sandberg's irrational hatred for Jennifer Aniston?
I don't.
Yeah.
Did you hear her Kenny Chesney story yesterday?
What's a Kenny Chesney story?
I got to meet Kenny Chesney, and I've thought, even though I'm happily married now, there was a long portion of my life where I was pretty sure I should be married to Kenny Chesney. until meeting him.
Why did you feel you had to disclaim that? It's because secretly you still have a fire burning for Kenny Chesney?
Well, this is the issue, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was there. I mean, you never know. Yeah. Marriages don't last forever, though I do love my husband. And so
happy anniversary, Warren.
I got to take a picture with Kenny Chesney, and he's smaller. I knew he was small. He's smaller.
He's tiny. Can fit in your palm.
Tiny. My hand on the small of his back was the width of his body. So we could never be a couple because I would look too gigantic all the time in the photos.
And guess who she ran into at the concert?
Christy Vaccari, our photographer.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, that's wild.
40,000 people. And she sees me in a crowd. So
Christy Vaccari, our friend, takes all the pictures at our comedy shows. Don't we have one coming up?
We do. That was good.
How about that for a segue?
Yes, we do.
Not my first day.
August 24th, Friday night, August 24th at 8 o'clock. One show out at Pheasant Run Zanies. And it's me, Steve, and Mike Toomey from WGN TV in the morning.
What a good lineup.
And it should be good because a texter early this morning said John was great at Zanies this past weekend. So he's on a good roll of being funny at
shows. By the way, I'm getting to a point where I'm going to make you come to one of the shows. You've been to one stand-up show. It was the first one because you felt like you should go. You haven't gone to one since.
I went to the Zanies in Rosemont. It was a good location for me.
Yeah, you want like one time.
Let's get a group outing.
It's like Vandeveld. Vandeveld won't go unless the show's in her house.
I've been to a lot. Yeah.
She has been. She's
on.
That's
true. Before 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before 6 p.m.
Before 6 p.m. in a reasonable distance from your house.
She's done the afternoons, New Year's Eve.
I don't want to go downtown, you know.
This is the type of thing that makes me think that you guys don't find me nearly as charming as I thought you did.
No.
Well, you never invite us back for like snacks and stuff.
You guys can come to my house anytime. You know where I live.
No, and backstage.
Backstage.
Oh, no, you're not coming backstage. Come to my house, fine, but don't come backstage.
You want VIP treatment if we come out,
yeah,
right?
Really?
You want to act like you're part of the family, not someone who's just waiting in the side door.
I think you know how this works. I have bouncers who look in the crowd. They pick out three or four. They give them tickets, and they can come back. That's it. That's how it works.
You know, we like being asked to come, Steve.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it mandatory. Mandatory. Hey, don't we have a White Sox outing coming up, like a show outing?
Oh, wait till you hear this detail.
We do?
You can't. Justin, are you going to break it?
It was supposed to be tonight.
No, it was supposed to be tonight, and then we were looking for it next week, and it was going to be a Cochran show and a Rokan show together.
Yeah.
But I was informed yesterday that the Skybox is not available.
So we're going to be in regular seats.
But they could give us a row of regular seats.
Wait, two rows of regular seats next to each other.
No, thanks.
That's not happening.
Rokan and Steve Cochran.
That's not happening.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I was trying for you, Steve. And I to be fair, what happened, which I give Stephanie a lot of credit, is when I said I'm not upset. Steve Cochran, on the other hand, I gave that kind of
no. I just think if you're going to do a show outing,
but that's the vibe I gave. I gave the
oh,
I don't look at me. I said
you
no, but
okay.
I go, I don't know Steve Cochran. And then she went, well, let us go back and see if we can do
that's
something.
What,
they wouldn't have done it for me, but for you, they were like, all right, before we make it, let me try again. So they're going to try again.
Well, the whole idea is this socializing between the two shows so we can get over the gang turf war that we've been having with Ro's show.
And is that the reason why we can't get the Skybox? Is because the Rokan show wants to come with us?
Yeah, who's in it?
No. I don't know who's in it. I think that we don't have the Skybox all the time.
No, clients
are used for clients, things like that. So
if it's
not
a client, it's
not,
great.
They're not making a judgment call. It's just not available on the dates we gave.
If it's a bunch of drunken salespeople just living it up, absolutely not.
Yeah, they don't watch the game.
So, all right, so we're picking another day.
So, yeah, we're working it out. So you may have to, it might be an upper deck, one roll. We have to share a seat with Roll.
I have sat,
working it out.
I sat in the upper deck at the park, and I still maintain, other than the risk you take, climbing to the seats.
I don't have,
they're
I don't
fabulous
mind.
Seats.
I
it's
sat
a really
there
nice
last
park.
Year, yeah.
That's a great park.
You and Roe, we were thinking maybe bleacher seats out there, too, that, you know.
Well, Ro was talking about doing Friday shows from the park. Did we ever work that out?
I don't know.
I'm
well,
sure.
maybe for the playoff stretch.
The issue,
no,
the
he
issue.
Has at least one coming up that
okay,
I know
good.
Of. Yeah.
They usually are all Friday night. Any games are at night, so that's the only downside. Nobody's in the park yet.
And we would love to have Ed Farmer and DJ on, but neither one of them are willing to get up at this hour. So for those of you wondering why Ed and DJ aren't on, Steve Stone is, it's because Ed and DJ won't get up. I mean, we love them, and they love us. It's just they're very honest about it, so we're not going to get up before 10.
Speaking of baseball, at 8:50, after we talked to Orion, I've just been told we're going to get the bucket head wearing guy from Wrigley.
Oh, that's fantastic. 9:50. Wow.
9:50, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I want to talk to the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find out accurately how many staples.
Well, in case you've missed it, pins are flying out of the scoreboard at Wrigley Field, and everyone should have a bucket on their head. That's what we know right now.
I just find the quirkiness of a bleacher guy wearing a bucket saved his life.
Yeah.
I mean, the picture in the Tribune is amazing. It's like, it's whatever they bought at the store, or at the park.
It's bazooka gum plastic buckets.
I'm not even sure what the reason was. If they're like, we're the bazooka guys.
Well, it makes me wonder if he had the baseball helmet for nachos, would that have protected him as well?
Exactly. Same idea, right?
Pete Zimmerman said that the reason why they do it is because Starlin Castro used to do that.
You used to put a bucket on his head?
Yeah, I guess so. So that started a trend of
was that the weed, or was that just because he did it?
That's some hardcore fandom.
Wow.
There.
Hmm.
Dave,
don't remember Starlin Castro being out there at shortstop with a bucket on his head, and I don't think he wears one now.
When was he a rookie, Castro?
Wow. Well,
how long has he been in the bigs?
It's going to be 10 years. Yeah.
So I thought, because Pinella quit because Castro was playing shortstop with a bucket on his head.
that was part of it.
That's why he left. Here's what we'll do. We'll come back. We're going to play the Lollapalooza games.
Yeah.
Lollapalooza game, band I was in, real band, or Lollapalooza band. You simply have to identify which band name that you're given goes in which category. So, for instance, give me an example. Give me just throw out a name. Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones.
Band I was in.
No,
that can't be right. No, that's a real band. That's a real band.
I don't know who you're
A real band that
it's
won't
a
be
Rolling
playing.
Stone. You were an A Rolling
that's right,
Stone.
That's right.
Which is a solo act.
312-981-7200 if you want to play. We have prizes for you, of course, when we come back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right. Phone calls at 312-981-7200. All you have to do is identify, is it a band I was in, a Lollapalooza band, or a real band? At 312-981, real band being a regular band, 312-981-7200. And we'll play the game in just a second. It's very simple to play and win, and you could win fabulous prizes. You know, we also went in New York. We also went to the 9/11 Museum, and I think it ought to be mandatory for everybody in this country to go. Dave, you've been, right?
I have been.
Didn't they do a great job with that memorial? The memorial on the site is just really unbelievable.
Incredibly moving, incredibly hard in spots. And you stand there on the plaza in front of the new Freedom Tower and between the two reflecting pools, which mirror the footprints for the two towers. And you think, those buildings came down right here. Right here. At the hands of Osama bin Laden and his thugs. And if not for the incredible intelligence system that we have in this country and the 17 agencies that protect us, along with every local cop on every local block, we would have had another one by now. There are plans and plots that have been stopped that we'll never even know about. So it's an amazing thing. And again, you know, I'd like to tell you I got through the whole thing without getting angry with Trump. But the fact is, this is one of the things that concerns me most about him. An irrational spout off, at this or that, and tweet irresponsible things, and lie constantly. You stand on the grounds of 9/11. His city, New York City. I don't know how you could be that uneducated or insensitive to how dangerous it can be when you have the responsibility of being the president. And there on those grounds, you will find some incredible volunteers and people who do it every day. And the most amazing thing are some of those volunteers who stand within earshot. For instance, in the memorial, they play a large number of final calls that people made from the airplanes to say goodbye to their loved ones.
Yes. Wow.
But it's amazing, and everybody should go. Everybody should go. You're not going to feel zippity-doo-dah when you leave, but you're going to appreciate the horror of that day, what we went through, and how important it is for it never to happen again.
The biggest emotion I had when I walked out of there, I was glad the sun was shining when I walked into the street.
Yeah.
Because it's tough. You go all the way down to the bottom, and it's well worth it, but it's tough.
Yeah, it's an amazing exhibit, you're going to need 2, 3, 4 hours.
Yeah.
To really spend the time that it deserves. You can go through and see everything and spend the time there that you should. We'll get a break here and then do the news in just a second, and CLTV will join us. Let's do one quick round. One quick round. We still have time. Al. We got Al. Hi, Al. How are you?
How are you? Good.
Al, it's very simple. John DeCoste will say a name of a band. You tell us, is it a band I was in, a Lollapalooza band, or an actual band that's out there playing today that's not at Lollapalooza? John.
Okay, here you go. Ready? Okay. The band's name is A Cat Born in an Oven Isn't a Cake.
That is a band Steve was in.
Oh, that's incorrect, my friend.
Yep, that's a real band. That is a real band.
Yeah,
that's
really?
Actual Lollapalooza band, yes?
No, a real band.
Oh, that's just an actual band.
Just a real band.
They didn't make the cut. They played Pitchfork, but not Lollapalooza.
Can I get that name again of that band?
The Cat Born in an Oven Isn't a Cake.
Well, I think that's clear. We'll play more of this next hour. Listen, for calling in, Al, I'm going to give you an app gift card anyway. ABT Electronics, app pleasing people since, 1812.
Thank you very much.
All right, man. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. And the news is next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared and our boots ain't muddy, but no one laughs. Cause there ain't nothing funny when a soldier cries. I just wipe my eyes. I fold it up and put it in my shirt. Pick up my gun and get back to work.
I can tell you right now, country lyrics, the best writing in music. It's not just dogs and trucks and she left me and now I'm sad.
It's mostly that.
Well, there's some of that. There's some of that.
When I'm on the road, I always watch the videos for country music. Actually, they're one of the few that
they're
are
great storytellers.
But they're stories.
They're great storytellers. When was the Kenny Chesney show last night?
Saturday night.
Well, he's sort of the Jimmy Buffett of country music.
He is. Mm-hmm. It was Brandon Lay, and then Old Dominion, and then Thomas Rhett, and Kenny.
Yeah, sorry, I missed it. Fun? Good times.
Oh, it was the best show. Yeah. Okay. Perfect night.
Anyway, the reason we're playing that song in particular is a new relatively new organization called Soldiers to Sidelines. I love this group. Military leaders, you could imagine, have a tremendous amount of experience that could lead them to be great coaches. And integrate them into youth sports so they can inspire, motivate, and encourage kids or younger athletes to succeed in sports and life. And joining us on the phone to talk about it is Harrison Bernstein. Is it Bernstein, sir?
It's Bernstein.
Oh, so close.
You took a shot.
I had a 50-50 shot, didn't I?
50-50 on that.
Yeah.
Give me the more full explanation of Soldiers to Sidelines, starting with how it started.
Well, you guys hit the nail on the head. Ultimately, you know, what we do is we educate and certify active duty transitioning veteran military members, all branches, to become expert coaches. And like you said, we get them coaching positions then at either the youth, high school, and even at the collegiate level. So we're able to inspire kids of all ages. But most importantly, it's about affecting and improving the life of the service member as well. You guys know when we say military makes great coaches, and they do, just like you said. But it's really once guys start to transition back into civilian life, you know, when you start to coach and really serve others once again, you get a better sense of fulfillment and satisfaction in your life. And that's really the motivation behind Soldiers to Sidelines.
Which would be the bigger impact, the active military transitioning to be a coach and for the kids, of course, the discipline and everything that goes along with it, or for the actual active transitioning military to have a role and to have a place where they can continue to use their training and use their discipline that they've been taught?
Wow. You know what? It's 50-50 because it's a reciprocal relationship. As you know, anytime any of us are feeling down, like of what's going on in our lives, or you're depressed, the minute you begin to serve others and do something good for somebody else, you wind up feeling great again. And it's hard to say because it's like selfish selflessness, and that's how it works. So when the military members, when they come through this program, they're doing so much self-reflecting and improving many of the soft skills that are required in coaching that it winds up becoming, you know, therapy of sorts. And then their impact on the kids, they get to see it, you know, over the years, each coach probably positively impacts thousands of kids. You know, if you're coaching for 10 years, football team after football team after football team, I mean, the impact is huge.
I know you're a football guy, Harrison, but is it only football? Or are there other sports involved too?
Oh, no. There's other sports. So we actually have a lacrosse coaching certification seminar coming up here at the end of November, in the beginning of December. And right now, those are the two primary sports that we work with. But we are planning to grow to, you know, all the major sports in the United States.
The concept of fun is being lost on a lot of kids in particular. And it's more than, hey, the coach isn't playing me enough. It's literally not having fun. What are you guys doing about that?
Interesting you said that. On our board is a woman named Dr. Amanda Visick. She's an advisor, and I got to work with her when I was teaching at George Washington University in the School of Public Health for a long time. And she actually has one of the most seminal research papers on, like, really what is fun to kids. I mean, she found a way to quantify that. And when she came to me about it in the office, she was like, Harrison, you know, this is what we're doing. I found a way to quantify fun. And I jokingly was like, that's immediately not fun. But, she found a way to do it. And it was really interesting where she found the top three things that make sports or really any activity fun for kids. Number one, believe it or not, is trying hard, like making sure that the goals are set appropriately so they can be succeeded. But if it's too easy, it's not fun, right? The next is, you know, the camaraderie with their teammates. And then third, it's the influence of a coach. Right? So sports have to be fun. We have a concept called SURF that we have to imbue in all of our teaching. It's safety, energy, retention, and fun. And if we can keep it fun, since that's why we all play sports, even at the pro levels, we'll get kids to keep coming back to play sports because they have such a good time with their coaches, and now they get to learn all the wonderful life lessons that sports teach us.
And, you know, the kids, not that a dad or just a regular coach can't have an impact on your life, but if you have someone that this person served our country and now he's taking or she is taking the time to be dedicating their life to me and coaching me and teaching me something, that could inspire these young people to say, like, maybe they'll go do something for their country. And then there's life beyond that. So,
sure.
You know,
you pay it forward.
Pay it forward. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's so true. And when you watch our military members come in, and just even if they speak for a moment to a football team, a lacrosse team, a softball team, you can see the athletes, there's this natural respect, and they look at them with awe because there's a deep understanding of really what that sacrifice means. And their words just carry a bunch more weight. It's just the truth of the matter. So if it's about impacting young people and getting their ear, no better than someone who served.
So what do you need from us? How do we help? Is it organizations that should be coming to you, individuals, or both?
Yeah, it's both. Really, you know, it's spreading awareness, and I'm really excited to be on the show right now. But if you are a football organization or a lacrosse organization somewhere in this country and you want to hire one of our military coaches, it'd be great to just send us an email, and you can go to the website soldiers2sidelines.org, and there's phone numbers and emails to contact us. And we would love to you know, send you a coach that best fits your needs. At the same time, too, it's about putting on more of these seminars. So really, there's a cost. I mean, everything is free to all of our military members. They don't have to pay anything. So we have to find a way to fund these things. And as a result, we have we like to get corporations to underwrite each one of these seminars. So if anybody's interested in sponsoring a Soldiers of Sideline certification seminar, please reach out.
Last word, Dave.
Yeah, Harrison, what's the actual certification process like? I mean, how much is it, a test, multiple tests? How much do these guys and women have to go through?
It's quite a lot, but the certification is really a certificate of completion, right? We are not accredited by a university yet,
okay.
But since I've been, you know, teaching at the collegiate level for so long, we've developed a pretty robust curriculum. So it's a 4-day long seminar, and it is about 26 hours of contact time. So we pack it in, right? And approximately 18 hours of that is developing the soft skills of coaching. And then the remainder is the actual X's and O's of the sport. So we say coaches coach people, but then we teach football or we teach lacrosse. So we go into all of the science and methodologies on how to inspire people, how to motivate people, how to communicate, how to listen, how to use words effectively, et cetera, et cetera.
Harrison Bernstein. Harrison, I appreciate what you do every day, and thanks for giving us a bit of an education on it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yep, and keep us up to date with what's happening. That's Harrison. By the way, my buddy Don at White Eagle Golf Club and I sat down with an organization Don's involved with called Your Grateful Nation. We're going to get these guys on as well. You take Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, you take the best of the best, and you train them up. You have them protect us. They do things like take out Osama bin Laden. They do their time in the service. They come home. Now what? Now what? They don't know how to get a regular job. These are incredible athletes, incredible soldiers, incredible seamen, incredible airmen, and they need help. So there's an organization called Your Grateful Nation, Y-O-U-R, Your Grateful Nation. We're going to have these guys on because what they do is they take, for instance, an Army Ranger who comes home, says, I want to do something in business. I just don't know what. And they set up a mentor, a successful business person, to teach them what it's like to be a management person in business. Once they've gone through the mentorship program and they feel like they're educated to a certain level, they help them put together a resume, and then they set them up on interviews and help shepherd them into a new job.
I would think that management person would be like, I've got a lot to teach you, but first, stories.
Yeah. They go, you're hired, but only if you tell me cool stuff. But it's an amazing a small group of America that we just think are going to be fine. SEAL Team 6, they're all fine. No. No, they need help like the rest of us, especially when they come back and try to integrate into regular life. So yourgratefulnation.org is their website. And as I said, we'll have them on.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a five, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Woo-hoo! Coming up, we're going to talk to the Buckethead from Wrigley Field. It's a guy that had a pinfall on his head, and if not wearing a bucket... A rally cap bucket.
Not the guitar player from Limp Bizkit.
Right. He might not be here. No, that's Orion's favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Buckethead.
Yeah.
Speaking of Orion, the great Orion Samuelson joins us now. Hello, my friend.
Well, good morning. I've never worn a bucket in my life, but maybe I'll start. I don't know.
You wore Viking horns.
That's true. I have worn Viking horns.
Yeah. This is a great picture of Orion and Viking horns that I put on his head. Actually, I don't remember. Was it Stephanie? So, I think Boss Stephanie put them on your head. Anyway, you look fabulous.
Well, thank you.
Actually, I believe I put them on his head because I had to assemble them.
Oh, that's right. You were the person to put the things onto place. Yes, you have a question for O.
I'm sorry. Good morning, Orion.
John DeCoste is here.
Good morning, John.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
He doesn't sound thrilled to hear from you, John.
No, I know. He never does, and I apologize.
Oh, I am. No, I am. And how's your dad?
He's doing very well. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I just wanted to... My wife and I went to Harvard on Sunday to pick up our corn.
Oh, me rye sweet corn.
Yes.
Yes.
It was, I don't know when it came out, but I knew it was out on Sunday, so...
Well, here's the
about
deal.
About a week ago.
Is that... Okay.
And Orion's not here every morning anymore. So what happened, Dave? We haven't seen our Mirai sweet corn. Yeah.
No, and you know what else? Spike Odell, who is in Tennessee, posted a picture. He got some Mirai sweet corn apparently sent to him.
It's unbelievable. It's an outrage, Joe.
Maybe they tried to get in the building and security stopped him.
Yeah, it's possible.
That could be Gary Pack, because I know Gary loves WGN, and I'm sure he...
Well, listen, Gary, it's not about the money, but we'll pay. We must have the Mirai.
I think I'll be talking to Gary later today, so I'll reaffirm that request.
Please pass our nervousness on about this. Speaking of nervousness, it's earnings season. What are the markets doing?
Markets today are showing strength, and again, it's trade talk that's helping, because U.S. and China, according to a Bloomberg report, are talking about getting serious about doing something about the tariffs, and they're going to be conducting talks. And so today we're looking at a higher market because of that. But, you know, I get the feeling that we wake up in the morning and we say, okay, today is the day we talk about the problems of trade, and the market goes down, and then the next day we get up and we say, well, maybe it's a little better, although there's not a lot of indication it's getting better, and then the markets change. So we've been talking about this now for at least 6 months, and there is some happening, because soybean growers are concerned. But the interesting thing, because China is our biggest soybean buyer, and the interesting thing is that because of the cutback in soybean sales from the United States, the price of soybeans from Brazil has grown dramatically. So that may send buyers back to the U.S. Right. for soybeans.
Orion, the last time we talked, so much has happened with farming. The president came to Dubuque and talked about farming. A stimulus package has been put in place to give farmers some relief from the tariffs and what's happening with soybeans. Where are we with farmers and the relationship with the president? Because you know, as you go around, most of them seem to still back the president and his policies when it comes to tariffs, even though there may be a short-term problem with the bottom line.
Well, the bottom line for most farmers and organizations that I saw reaction to the president's trade program or aid program, they would prefer trade, not aid, because corn and soybean growers said over and over again, we like to make our living based on good markets and not on trade wars and things of that type. So the bottom line of that really was trade, not aid. And they said aid is not the solution to the trade problems we have, and so they... I think they're being patient with the president on this one, but they're beginning to get a little uptight as we move toward harvest season. Looks like we're going to be harvesting really good crops here in the United States. There are concerns in other parts of the world, particularly the wheat country of Russia. Russia is the biggest wheat exporter in the world, and they're having some weather problems, and Black Sea producers are having problems. Some problems in Australia as well. And so we have to continue to watch those weather situations because we've seen wheat prices gain rapidly in the last week or so because of concern over a shortfall in the wheat crop. Not in the U.S. so much, but other countries.
Well, before I give you the last word, a story popped up which I think is troubling all of us. It's Michigan head football coach Jim Harbaugh. The former Michigan coach and current UCLA quarterback Wilton Spate. Is it Spite or Spate? It's got to be Spate.
Spate.
Wilton Spate told Bleacher Report that he had an odd conversation with Jim Harbaugh when he was still at Michigan, when Harbaugh gave him a number of training tips, including this. Wilton, avoid chicken because it's a nervous bird. So I assume that meant that if Wilton ate too much chicken, it would create anxiety in him, and you can't have an anxious quarterback. Is that accurate, O?
I don't think so. I don't think any research has shown that chickens are that nervous that they would transmit it to human beings. So I would back away from that one quickly. You know, I think that social media certainly has its place. But, man, you have to be careful. There was a posting on social media a week or two ago saying that 1% of the farms in America are family farms. Well, the actual number is 5% are not family farms.
Oh, wow, that's big.
95% yeah. are family farms.
That's a slight difference, yeah. isn't it?
Yeah, it is. A big difference. But, you know, the thing I've often said about social media, it's good to pass on information. And in agriculture, we use it because farmers will post pictures of flooding and things of that type. But anybody can put anything on social media, and somebody will read it, and somebody will believe it. And I get emails practically every day saying, I saw this on social media. Is this true? No, it's not true. And so you got to be careful.
If we need anything throughout the day, I'll give out your cell phone so people can call you.
Very good. I don't answer it because Gloria does, so they'll get to talk to Gloria.
Don't cross Nurse Gloria. You're going to be in trouble.
No, no, no.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Let's talk to Buckethead, the guy whose head was saved by a bucket. From Wrigley, and that story coming up. Yes.
Texter 773 says you can get the Twin Garden Farms corn at Daly Plaza on Thursdays during the farmer's market. So
yeah, I don't have time to go over there. I want it delivered. It's 948. God, I've turned into a diva.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Won't let anyone say that it's just the game. For I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're healed. The first time you walk into Wrigley Field.
You can hear the echo. That's not reverb. He wore a bucket when he recorded this in the studio. Well, it's all serendipity.
Yeah.
Serendipity, by the way. Is he going to be traded to the Cubs today in a deal?
That's possible till 3 o'clock.
Kyle McAleer joins us. Kyle, you're lucky to be alive.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Kyle was a day short of his 20th birthday hanging out at Wrigley with your family, I understand, right?
Yeah, it was my family, my mother, my dad, my sister, my uncle, and a good friend of ours.
Just you guys and your fake ID.
Yeah. It's so funny. There was a an article released before I went public about it, and it said that I had like a chicken wing bucket and that I was drinking, and I said like that could not be more wrong.
You've been a victim.
That's the goofiest thing I've ever heard.
You've been a victim of modern bad media. All right, so you're sitting out there with your friends, and you got the bucket on your head because it was a rally bucket.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the bucket was filled previously with what?
Bubble gum. It's a double bubble bubble gum bucket.
The hell kind of amount of bubble gum is your family eating, Kyle? You're a bunch of bubble gum
me,
nuts.
Actually.
I think our boss has that bucket in his office.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's just as twisted as Kyle. So, Kyle, you're not hurting anybody. You're just sitting there with a bucket on your head having a good time.
Let me ask, Kyle, why'd you put the bucket on when you put it on?
All right, so like I said, it's a rally bucket. It's like a rally hat. You turn your hat inside out. But instead, we put a bucket on our heads. And like I said, I was not the only one wearing one. My dad and our friend was wearing one, too.
Well, let's not pretend that makes it okay.
Excuse me.
All right. And then something happens where a chunk of the scoreboard, in this case a metal pin, obviously you didn't know what it was at the time, falls and hits you in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. And then back to the first thing, the bucket came on because the Cubs are down by 3 in the inning. And so I was like, all right, putting the buckets on. Let's see if we can get a rally going here.
How long before you got hit with the pin, the metal chunk that fell, how long did you have the bucket on your head?
Oh, it had to be less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
All right, so the metal chunk, the pin falls and hits you on the head. What did you think happened?
So after that loud noise, like someone beating a drum in my head, my ears are ringing, the bucket's forced down on my head so I can't see anything. My first reaction was, what the heck? What kind of jerk just did that to me? I thought someone hit me or something.
Yeah, you thought somebody from behind just smacked you on the head, right?
Through a bottle or something.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So my glasses were forced off my face, and they're on the ground somewhere. So I take the bucket off to find my glasses, and as soon as I look down to find my glasses, the blood just comes pouring out of my head and splattering all over the floor.
So the pin, when it hit your head, went through the bucket?
Yeah, the bucket definitely cushioned it and deflected some of the energy that the pin had. And we're talking possibly a skull fracture, if not a traumatic brain injury. And it could have been fatal if I wasn't wearing it.
And by the way, the number one safety element at any professional sporting event is a double bubble gum bucket.
Absolutely. This is proven now.
But you're okay now? You got a couple of stitches, right?
Yeah, 5 staples in my head for my 20th birthday. But,
happy birthday.
Other than that, I'm monitoring a few issues here and there, but I'm just happy to be alive and not having to learn how to walk or talk again.
No kidding.
Kyle, what has the Cubs' reaction been, the organization, after finding out this happened?
No, they were quick. They were quick, very responsive. The EMT guys...
They got a lawyer and a release out to you immediately.
They provided our family with, well, luckily for my family, they got great seats while I was in the ER. That was nice of them. So, they provided a gift bag with a signed game Javier Baez ball.
Well, that's nice.
Javier Baez bobblehead and a new Russell jersey as well, because I was wearing my Russell jersey.
So the kid that brought it out, did they go, Kyle, stop bleeding. I'm trying to give you this bag.
No, they gave them the bag after the game was over, and my family walked to the hospital with the bag.
Well, good for the Cubs. That's
so
a nice
you
move.
You were wearing a rally cap because Kyle Hendricks couldn't hold the lead. So Kyle
yeah,
Hendricks
what's
saved
up
your
with
life.
That, man? I mean, Hendricks pitched excellent a couple days ago against the Cardinals. I'm excited because if he can keep pitching like that, I think we can get
back in this. He nearly killed you. He nearly killed
the lead
you.
In the division.
He saved his life because if he hadn't given up the lead, they wouldn't have been wearing the hat.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there's lots of ways to slice this story. There. John.
Yeah, and I don't want to make light of this because I know it was a serious situation, but I have to take advantage of this. When the bucket was shoved down onto your head, when you take it off, was it cartoon-like? Was your head in the shape of a bucket?
I'm sure if I had a mirror in front of me, I bet it did.
Did it make this noise?
Okay. It was pretty forceful.
Hey, Kyle, how many games do you go to a year?
Well, see, we don't live in Chicago. We live in, my family and I, we live in Iowa. About 6 hours away from Chicago. So
this is a
we'd
big
be
trip.
Lucky if we see one game a year.
Yeah.
So birthday do you trip. Bring the bucket every year, every time you come to a game?
I wouldn't leave the house
every
without the bucket at this point.
Every single time we come to the game, the buckets are with us.
Dude, I would not leave the house without a bucket on your head for the rest of your life.
Where do you live in Iowa?
What was that?
Where do you live in Iowa?
I live in a tiny town about an hour and a hour, 10, hour and 20 minutes northwest of Des Moines called Scranton.
Okay.
Okay. Probably just, less than 500 people live in this town.
You should stop in at the Funny Bone on Friday night. I'll be there headlining.
He's not kidding. He's going to be at the Funny Bone in Des Moines all week starting tonight or tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night.
John DeCosta in Des Moines. There's your plug. Kyle, we're just glad you're okay. Do you have a girlfriend?
I do not, actually.
Dude, play this up, man. I'm trying to think of all the angles you could play this. You're so could get a girlfriend over this.
The funny and kind of depressing part about this is that we actually had an extra ticket, but she broke up with me about 2 weeks beforehand.
Oh.
Well, she loses out in the limelight.
She missed a chance to have you bleed on her.
Did a double bubble... Did Double Bubble reach out yet for an endorsement deal or anything for you?
It's a great call. They absolutely
should. I've not heard anything from Double Bubble.
All right. Well, get a lawyer, man. Get a lawyer to help you handle all the endorsements.
At least for the Double Bubble, yeah. At least for the Double Bubble.
And good for the Cubs for doing the quick response.
Did they fix the sign?
Yeah, the Julian at the Cubs have said that the this will not happen. The pins have been secure.
So exploding bolt night is not a good promotion to have.
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea.
You didn't read your fortune in the bubble gum before you put it on, did you?
Yeah, right.
Kyle could keep the pin. I hope he kept the pin for you.
Yeah, did you get to keep the pin?
No, I did not. That became a part of evidence because the Chicago PD got involved.
Oh, but your head feels okay now.
Yeah, I'm just like I said, monitoring a few issues. It's been a long-term thing because it's a head injury, and concussion symptoms can happen months and months down the road. So, not really much to comment on that until probably October, November.
Yeah, but dude, you're a 20-year-old guy. How normal were you to begin with?
Wait. He's probably a college.
You're exactly right. No, you're exactly right. This is just bizarre.
He just said he wouldn't know until October or November. I think he's playing for tickets.
Yeah, exactly. He'll know in October if there's World Series tickets waiting for his family.
Well, the Cubs should give you tickets for the playoffs. There's no doubt
about
this. Not bleacher seats.
Well, they reached out to us after the story went public yesterday on the Tribune. They reached out to us and said that they're in the works on bringing back the whole family with this is new. I haven't told anyone else this. Bringing back the whole family and having a VIP style of event
at
the field for a game.
As well as putting you through college.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, that would be really nice. That'd be really nice.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, you're a good man. I appreciate you coming on. Take care of yourself and let us know how you're doing.
Thanks, Kyle.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate you coming on.
Kyle McAleer. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think he understands bucket list, Steve.
He doesn't understand a lot right now. He doesn't understand a lot right now until the World Series tickets arrive.
I can't even believe that. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. I mean, he said he put the bucket on his head. His family put the bucket on his head 10 minutes before this happened.
It's lucky to be alive.
This is crazy.
Thursday night is bucket night when they host the Padres.
Everybody gets a bucket?
It's the first 10,000.
Yeah. Make sure you're sitting near the exploding scoreboard. Get the full impact. Bill and Wendy next. Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy. How are you today? Whoops. Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy. How
Welcome
are you
back.
Today?
Hi, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi.
How was your trip? Was it nice?
Was good. I don't know if you heard. Did you hear the Harlem story?
No. What happened? Are you all right?
We were going to go to, we went to a Yankees game.
Yeah.
And from Midtown, you go through part of Harlem to get to the Bronx.
Yes.
And Paul Coit, who you hear on the show all the time.
Sure.
His son had never been to a baseball game. He's very excited. And he got car sick in the back of the car, and he had to get out and throw up in Harlem.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just a block from the Apollo Theater.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Harlem.
Well, he hit the trash can. It's just a great story to tell. He gets to go back to London and say, hey, I threw up in Harlem.
British people seem too cultured to throw up to me.
Oh, he did it in a very, very fancy way.
Very dainty.
Yeah.
Yes. And then he apologized between each retch.
That's how the British
was
throw
it show
up.
Time at the Apollo?
It was choke time.
Could have been. So he's okay, by the way. What are you guys doing today?
Giving away Scott Stapp tickets, and it's a Tech Tuesday, so we'll find out what's going on in the technological world.
Is there new stuff?
Every day.
There's constantly new stuff, Steve.
There's also Apple earnings. Is that today? Like they'll find out how much money they're making?
I'm not sure.
I'm sick of Apple.
It's this week. And then
it's
there's
week.
Talk so about
close
whether
after the markets close. No. I think.
Hey, guess what? Guess who on this show right now? Guess who? Of all of us here on this show with the microphone, guess who could have bought Apple at $16 and said no? That's right.
I wonder
it was
if it's
me.
You.
You didn't need it.
Nah. I'm glad I missed it.
Good thing you bought it, Bill.
Yeah, I bought a ton of it.
Did you? No. Congratulations.
No, you bought apples.
Yeah, I bought a lot of apples.
So you really were confused about the whole thing?
I still don't understand it.
$16 for a Granny Smith? You got ripped off.
It seemed like a lot at the time.
It does seem high.
Yeah.
I'm going to go testify on Paul Manafort's behalf. I'll see you tomorrow.